the first few chapters of the book of Romans, we have found out that justification is by faith in Jesus Christ. Even though we're wicked and sinful, even though we deserve to go to hell because of our actions and the things that we do, we're justified by faith in what Jesus Christ did for us. He died on the cross to pay for all of our sins. And Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now, today, no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus. We cannot be condemned once we're in Him. And once we, the way we get in Him is by faith in Jesus Christ. When we trust His death, burial, and resurrection as a payment for our sin, we have a righteousness from God, and we can never receive unrighteousness because of what we have done or what we will do. Now, that's what Romans, the first five chapters, are talking about. Now, he makes the statement again. Paul reiterates this over and over again. He restates this as we go through the book of Romans over and over again, because he does not want us to get away from the fact that we are justified before God, and we can have a righteousness from God by faith in what Jesus Christ did for us. And until you understand this, until you know this, you can never have an abundant life that God wants you to have. There's no way in the world you can ever understand it and you can ever appropriate or use this wonderful life that He has for you until you understand that. But then there's more to it than just being saved, more than just going to heaven. In other words, that's just the start. That's just like a person being born into the world and saying, "Well, that's all that's necessary, is just to come on the scene." Now, I was in the hospital last night, and they tell me that the nursery is filled. In fact, there's so many babies in the nursery up there that they even had to put two little twins in the incubators. They've got two sets of twins up there, and they're all boys, by the way, girls. And it's wonderful to come in on the scene. It's wonderful to be here. But you know, if they stayed in that nursery and the incubator all their life, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Be awful. And yet, this is the way a lot of Christians think. All that matters is that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven when I die. Well, that is the most important thing. But that's just the beginning. That's not the end. That's just the beginning of it all. And God wants us to have a tremendous life, and it's called the life in the Spirit. Now, in the fourth verse, it says the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. And notice it says it's fulfilled in us. When we are controlled by the Spirit, and when we live the Christian life, the law is fulfilled in us and not by us. Now, so many people think that we have to produce the righteousness of the law. No. The righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us, inside of us, who walk not as the flesh, but as the Spirit. You see, the law is fulfilled in us when we walk not as the flesh, but as the Spirit. Notice the sixth chapter and the fourth verse again. It says, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should," and this word "should" would be better in it, "might walk in newness of life." Now, we have a resurrected life, and so we can walk in a newness of life. We don't have to walk in the deadness of the life, but we can have a resurrected life and a newness of life. Look at the seventh chapter, the fourth verse also. "That wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye might be married to another, even to Him who is raised from the dead, that ye should bring forth" what? "Fruit unto God." We are raised, we're alive, we've been born again that we might produce for God. And that's what Romans 8:4 is all about. The righteousness that the law demands is fulfilled in us when we walk not after the flesh, but we walk after the Spirit. Now notice the fifth verse. "For they that are after the flesh," they that are according to the flesh, "do mind," and you ought to underline that little word "mind," because we'll be talking about this quite a bit this morning. "Do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit." See? "They that have the Spirit, the things of the Spirit," and that's talking about the mind of the thinking. Now, what does it mean, the things of the flesh? If you have your Bible and you can turn with me to Ephesians, the second chapter, for just a moment. Ephesians, the second chapter, and the third verse, and it's found on page 1273 if you have a Bible like mine. 1273. Now, you want to know why I keep calling out these numbers, because several people have Bibles like mine. They appreciate it when I do, because they have a little problem finding the chapters. And if you'd like one like mine, you can always buy one. I'll be glad to tell you what kind it is. All right, notice the second chapter, the third verse. Now, what is it talking about? The mind here. All right, there are three things that are considered here. Notice the third verse. According among whom also we had our manner of life, conversation, a manner of life, in times past in the lust of the flesh. Now, one thing is the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires, and this is the second thing, of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, what does it mean here by lust? This word lust means the longing. The longing. We have a longing inside of us for certain things. We have a deep desire. Now, just because you have a longing, or just because you have a desire for something, you don't have to do it. You see, the longing is there, but it's left up to you to say yes or no. And that's what the word desire there means. See, that's your will, your desire. You're saying yes or no. You exercise your mind or your will in this matter. You see, we can fulfill the lust of the flesh. The longing is there. It makes no difference if you're lost or if you're saved. You still have a longing there to be lost. But there'll also be a longing to do right. There'll be a desire to do right, too. Remember the seventh chapter of the book of Romans when we went through that. He says, what I want to do, I don't do, and what I don't want to do, I find myself doing. I've got a desire to do right, but how to do it, I don't find it. I can't understand how to do the right thing, and I'm always doing the wrong thing, you see. The desire is always there to do wrong. But now, are you doing it? All right, we have the lust. We have the longings of the flesh. They're always there. And so what do we say today? All right, since the longing is there, God gave us this longing. God didn't give us this longing, by the way. Then we just do whatever comes natural, just whatever we want to do. You know, it doesn't matter. Well, friend, it does matter. Everything in this world is not of God. Now, God permits everything here. But God didn't make everything. You see, He gave you a free will, just like He gave Adam a free will. And Adam had a choice to receive or to reject. He had a choice to eat the apple or not eat it. Not the apple, what am I talking about? The fruit. To eat the fruit or not to eat it. And he ate. It wasn't an apple. I don't know why I said that. I know better. I just didn't do better, you see. All right, we have the longing. We have the desire. Now turn with me a couple of pages back to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and the 19th verse. And the third word is work. There's the lust, there's the desire, and then there's the work. All right, we'll begin reading at the 16th verse of Galatians. Now everybody can find that. Just about three pages forward toward the front of your Bible from where we were. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. All right, walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust, you see, the lust, the longings of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth or longs against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are the contrary, these are the opposite. One is pulling one way, the other is pulling the other way. They are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the thing that you would or you desire. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works, and this word works here means energies. The energies of the flesh are manifested. They are revealed. Which are these? adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, wrath, factions, seducing, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revilings or nightclubs, and such like. Now the works, that which is of the flesh, are these things. Now he names these things. He names not only this, but he says things like this. Anything like this is the work of the flesh. Is the energy of the flesh. Is that which comes out of the flesh. Now when you are walking in the energy or under the influence or under the control of the flesh, this is what you'll be producing. And then in the 22nd and the 23rd verse, it tells you the production or the energies of the Spirit. The energies of the Spirit. Now, if you have some of these things here that the Bible has just named, then what are you doing? You're living in the energy or under the influence or the control of the flesh. Now, I didn't write it. I didn't make it so. God is telling us what the truth is. Now, you can reject it or you can accept it. It's still truth. It's still so. Now, if you're ever going to be happy, you cannot be controlled by the flesh, because you're going to be miserable when you're controlled by the flesh. And let me say this. If you have these things in your life, and this is what you desire and you long for, the things that we just named in Galatians, the 6th chapter, the 5th chapter, the 19th verse and following, then I would check myself and make sure that I was saved. I would stop and I'd take a long look at myself and I would say, am I really born again? Do I really understand how to be, to have eternal life, to know how to go to heaven? Now, maybe you don't know. So in case you don't know, we'll stop for just a moment and explain it to you. You see, the only way anybody can be saved is not by anything that they can do of themselves. It has to come outside of man. And that's the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ left the throne of glory and he came down and became a man so that he could die for mankind. And when Jesus Christ came on the earth, he lived for 33 years. He never did sin, not one time. He went to the cross and he died there for you. He was buried and he arose again the third day to prove that it was all finished, that it was complete, that he had made the payment for sin and it was all over with. Now he died for your sin. Now you have to know these facts. That Jesus Christ was God who became a man and he died for you. And when he died on the cross, he paid for all of your sins, past, present, and future. He died and paid completely for every sin that everybody's ever committed. And he did that for you personally. I don't care what it was. Regardless of which one of these sins here in Galatians 5:19 and following that you have done, he paid for all those. See, every one of them. Now you have to believe it. You have to but accept it as his payment for your sin. Trust him. Just like this morning, you came in and you trusted that pew. You're sitting down on it. You're relying completely upon it to hold you up off the floor. Now, that'll keep you off the floor, but that will not get you to heaven. You've got your faith in the right object to stay off the floor. Now, what is the object to get you to heaven? Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. And when you rely upon him, just like you're relying upon that pew, to hold you off the floor, you rely upon him to get you to heaven. You trust him. Now, you all know the facts. You know Christ was God. You know he did die for you. You know he did pay for your sin. You see, that's the historical fact. Now trust him. Now personally, receive his death, burial, and resurrection as the payment for all of your sins. And you're saved. Now, maybe you already are saved. Maybe you know you're saved, even though you do have some of these things in your life that were named here. Or maybe you have every one of them in your life. That's possible. All right, let me tell you this now. A person can be walking in the flesh. They can be producing the fruits of the flesh, just like it says here, and be saved. You can do that. That's what Romans 7 is all about. That's what Galatians 5 is all about. It says the fruit of the flesh, the works of the flesh, they are manifest in the Christian. All right, what's going to happen? Are you going to lose your salvation? No, you can't lose it. But there's such thing as called the woodshed. Now, you know what the woodshed is? Back long years ago, when they used to discipline kids, you know, our country was very sparse. And when you spank a kid, he yells and screams and hollers, and it's sort of hard on the ears. And so, and mamas can't stand it very well, you know, and brothers and sisters can't stand it. So what you did was you take him out behind the house and the woodshed, which was back even behind that, and you got behind the woodshed, and you got a little hickory stick about this long, and you wore that child out. I mean, you took the hide off. See? Now, if you are living in the flesh, you've got something to look forward to. It's called the woodshed. Now, it's going to come, friend. It's going to come. Now, you see, you don't spank little kids, little babies. These little babies in the nursery out here in the hospital, you don't spank them. You wait till they get about 6 months old. Now, that's how old my kid was the first time I spanked her. She was about 6 months, and she needed it. And it helped a whole lot, honestly. She knew what I was doing. Now, she knew I loved her, but she knew that I meant business. And when she was 2 1/2, friends, I had to scourge her. I whipped that child until I was just weak all over. I hated to, but I had to. I didn't have any choice. She was 2 1/2 years old, and she's as hard-headed as a daddy. And if I had not stopped her, I know what would have happened. She would have been a lot worse than a daddy. And that's bad enough. You know. Now, God loves us. God loves us. And if we walk in the flesh and we do the works of the flesh, the energy of the flesh, you can look forward to something. Now back to Romans, the 8th chapter. Remember what the works of the flesh are. It's how we can define the flesh. First, it's lust. It's longings. Then it's the desire, the will involved in it. We make our choice. Then it's energy. It's work. Now, the 5th verse says, they that are after or according to the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. Do mind the things of the Spirit. Now, I want you to turn with me just a couple of pages back now to the 2nd chapter of 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians 2 just a moment. And the 10th verse of 1 Corinthians 2, it's page 1234. 1 Corinthians is right after Romans, so it shouldn't be hard to find. But God hath revealed to them to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, we're still talking about the mind here, the mind of the Spirit. Now, it says God reveals the things of the Spirit to us, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, what does it mean by the deep things of God here? This is talking about the Word of God. The deep things of God are found in the Word of God.
In other words, if I want to know what God, the deep things of God, I want to know the things that God wants me to know, just like it's simple to be saved. It's simple to be born into the world. In fact, you don't have to do a whole lot about it, you know. You know? Now, somebody else does, but you don't. When I came in the world, I didn't have a whole lot to do with it. It wasn't any problem for me at all. Now, my mom, that was a different situation. See. Now, it's easy for me to be saved, but for Jesus Christ, it's a different situation. It was hard for Him. He did the work. I didn't do any of it. I just received the payment that He made for me. But now that I'm saved, you see, the Holy Spirit will reveal things unto me, the deep things of God. Look at the 14th verse. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man, the unsaved man, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, neither can he understand them, for they are spiritually discerned, or spiritually understood. You have to have the Holy Spirit inside to understand these things. Now look at the 9th verse. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Now this is not talking about somewhere all the way off yonder in the future. This is not talking about after we die. It's talking about right now. In this present. While I am here on the earth. Notice. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So in our minds, we can understand, we who have been born again can understand the things of the Spirit of God. Now back to Romans 8:5. What are you doing? Are you going after the flesh or after the Spirit? Now you can't go after the Spirit unless you've been born again. Remember this. But if you have been born again, you can go after the flesh. You can produce the works of the fruit of the flesh. Remember, in the 4th verse of the 7th chapter, we are to produce, or we are to bring forth fruit unto God. We are to bring forth fruit unto God. Now, the 6th verse of 8, for to be carnally minded is death. Now, what kind of death is that? Remember, there's more than one kind in the Bible. There's spiritual death, there's physical death, there's eternal death. You see, there's temporal death, and this is what this is talking about, is temporal death, which means temporary out of fellowship with God. If you are, if there's no condemnation in you, if you have been born again, you can be carnally minded, but you're going to be temporarily separated from God. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Fellowship with God and peace on the inside. Now, which do you want? Do you want to be in the, have a life of misery? You want to be upset? You want to be disturbed? You want to be all out of whack? A nervous wreck? All right. All you have to do is just walk in the flesh. Mind the things of the flesh. Be carnally minded. Have your thinking on the carnal or the fleshly thing? Death. Spiritual mind, life, speech. The 7th verse. Because the carnal mind is enmity. And that word enmity means hostility. The carnal mind is hostile against God. And for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The flesh cannot be subject to God's law. You know, there's been a lot of real rebellion on the part of the young people in our nation lately. And basically, it's been against dialectical materialism. Now, what in the world does that mean for junior high kids and under? Everybody else knows. Dialectical materialism means everything is material that's important. The dialectics is always material. In other words, the only thing that's real to me is what I can touch, feel, see. That which is material. Now, it's mighty easy for older people to get wrapped up in material things. I need this, and I need that, and I need the other, and I want this. Make all the money you can, doesn't make any difference who you hurt. And our young people have rebelled against this. And they've gone the other way and say, the material doesn't mean a thing. Well, it does mean something, but it doesn't mean everything. You see, we have to be in the right perspective. Material things do have a place. I've had several seniors in my office in the last week or so, and they were wanting to know what God wants them to do and how to find out what He wants them to do in their life. And some of them have the idea that if they take a job that makes a little bit more money, they'll be wrong. No, if you're going to work, it's no sin to make $2 instead of a dollar. In fact, it's better to make $2 than it is to make a dollar. Because you see, when you're making $2, then you'll have enough to keep body and soul together, keep clothes on your body, and then you'll have some money to serve the Lord with. You see? But now, if you're making the $2 so you can just have more clothes, then it doesn't make any difference whether you're making a dollar or you're making $2. It's immaterial. You see? That's not the important thing. Money or material things are a means to an end, not an end within itself. And this is what it's easy for people to do, is let material things be an end within themselves. No, they're just a means to an end. A means to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve Him more effectively and more efficiently. You see, it takes these kind of things. But we don't have our eyes just on the material so I can be comfortable in this life. No, this life doesn't mean a whole lot. But it does mean something. Because there are people around you who are lost and going to hell. And they need to understand. You see? Now, if you just have the carnal mind, though, and you're just looking at the things of the world and the things of the flesh, then, friend, life is not going to have much meaning. The carnal mind, just the mind that has this material thing, is in hostility against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They that are in the flesh, they that are walking in the flesh, cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, and He does. You see, now here's another place that says that God, the Holy Spirit, what? Dwells inside of us. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not dwell in them. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ when He was here on the earth. He told His disciples, He said, the Spirit is with you, but He shall be where? In you. Now, preposition in the Bible is very, very important. There's a lot of difference between being with you and being inside of you. All through the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit went alongside of them. And the Holy Spirit helped them. But on the day of Pentecost, what happened? The Holy Spirit came inside to dwell. To dwell. And that word dwell means to come in and never to leave. Now, in the Old Testament, there were a few people who had the Holy Spirit inside, but He did not dwell in them. And that's the reason why David, when he sinned, he had the Holy Spirit inside of him. And when he sinned his sin of adultery and murder, he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He thought God was going to take the Holy Spirit from him. That was the last thing he wanted to do after he got back into fellowship. He said, God, please don't take your Holy Spirit. It was such a tremendous thing he wanted. Now, we don't have to worry about that. If you ever believe on the Lord Jesus Christ one time that He died and paid for your sins, the Holy Spirit's going to come in and He's never going to leave. Regardless of how you sin, how bad it might be, He'll never leave because He has come in to dwell. And that means to stay in permanently. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. If a man is not, if the Holy Spirit is not in your body, you're not saved. You've never been born again. You're lost. This is exactly what Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in the 3rd chapter. Remember the 6th verse?
John 3:6.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. You see? The flesh, sure, this body contains the flesh. But when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I received the Holy Spirit. He's inside of me. He's inside. If you don't have Him, you're not saved. If there, in both of those cases, a first-class condition, in the 9th verse, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man, and he does, have the Spirit of Christ, he's not of His. You have the Spirit of Christ. You've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've been born again. Now, this Christian life, as we said last Sunday morning, is a walk. It's a walk. It's a walk moment by moment. It's not even a day-by-day thing. It's a moment-by-moment thing. You have to be controlled by the Holy Spirit every moment in your life. And if you're not controlled by Him, you're controlled by the flesh. And you're producing the fruit of the flesh. And that's the reason why your life is so miserable. That's the reason why your life is miserable if you're unsaved. Because that's all you can produce is the fruit of the flesh. You cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit if you've not been born again. And you can look forward to nothing but misery. Now, it didn't say you couldn't enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, but there's always a harvest. Anybody can enjoy the pleasures of sin, saved and unsaved. You can enjoy them for a season. And it's just like we said from this pulpit many times, we sow our wild oats and pray for a crop payment. The colored man says, there ain't no such thing, boss. You sow cucklebirds? You don't have to sow them, do you, Dad? You reap them anyway. If you go to sowing, boss, you really gonna reap it. You really gonna reap it. I wonder this morning, what characterizes your life? The fruit of the flesh? The things that were named there in Galatians, the 5th chapter? That's not the only place that it names them. There are other places. It's the only one we had time to take up this morning. And that's not merely about all the works of the flesh. Because those that it names, it says such likes, things like this. Maybe it didn't hit your soul spot this morning. Maybe it didn't hit the thing that you are doing that's the work of the flesh. I don't know. Maybe it hit right on the head. I stopped and take a long look. Make sure I was saved. After I made sure I was saved, and you know you're saved, and you those things are still there, you know one thing. You ought to fellowship. You're temporarily dead. You're going to catch it. You're going to catch it. Not because God hates you because you've done these things. He still loves you. He loves you just as much if you do them as if you don't. But He knows the result of it. And so He disciplines you out of love. Every time I hit my little girl when she was 2.5 years old, it hurt. It tore me up. Listen, cold sweat popped out on my brow. And I almost had to go to bed. I almost had to go to bed. I could hardly stand it. She's just my child. God loves me a whole lot more than I ever thought about loving her. Because He's got a greater capacity to love. He doesn't want to have to spank us. That's the reason why He gave us the Word of God, so we'd know how to have the abundant life. How to have the abundant life. Let's bow our heads for prayer.